get right into it by discussing my system. Recently, two invasive pests have been introduced into soybean. In 2004, Asian soybean rust was first discovered in North America, and that disease is caused by the fungus Phacopsora pachyrhizae. And because of the way that the fungus works, we must use fungicides in order to protect the yield of the soybeans if the fungus is in the area. And with the introduction of this, with this potential increase in fungicide use, this has the potential to impact the natural control of the another invasive soybean pest, which is soybean aphid or aphis glycines. And our studies have shown that the fungal pathogens of soybean aphid may be important regulators of the aphid pest. So this led us to ask the question: does the use of fungicides affect the beneficial fungi that are infecting soybean aphid? And so we tackled this question in 2005 and 2006. And in 2005, we observed an epizootic in the field, and we did see that treated plots showed significantly less disease prevalence compared to untreated plots. In 2006, the overall disease prevalence was quite low, so we didn't see any treatment effects. So we have shown that fungicides are detrimental to this aphid-infecting fungi. And this leads to another question. We wanted to find out if the timing of the application relative to the initiation of the fungal epizootic would alter the magnitude of this effect. So we set up a completely randomized design experiment in which single soybean plant cages were set up to increase soybean aphid numbers because in the surrounding field the soybean aphid densities were quite low, so we needed a fair amount of aphids in order to do this study. We set it up as a 3x2 factorial design in which fungicides had three levels, being a water control, a strobilurin fungicide, and we used headline for that fungicide, and a strobilurin triazole mixed fungicide, and we used headline SBR. And then our second factor was the timing of the application, and the application was made either before we released inoculum into these cages or after we released inoculum into these cages. And the inoculum that we used were 50 laboratory infected aphids. And these aphids were infected with Pandora neoaphidus, which is an important aphid pathogen, and it's the most common one that we see in Minnesota. To monitor the prevalence of disease throughout the experiment, we performed bioassays twice weekly in which we went into each of these cages, we collected 60 aphids, brought them back to the laboratory, monitored them for 4 days, and any apparently infected aphids, which is shown in the picture on the screen, were moved to water auger to induce sporulation. These spores were stained and I identified the species of fungus causing the disease. All of the diseased aphids were infected with Pandora neoaphidus, and I did not find any infected aphids outside of the cages. And again, aphids were counted weekly within the cages. And just as a note, we did not see any aphid population response throughout the course of this experiment. This graph shows our results over time with the date of aphid collection on the x-axis and the mean disease prevalence on the y-axis. On the left panel shows the results of the fungus when the fungicide was applied before the inoculum, and on the right panel we have the results when the fungicide was applied after the inoculum. As you can see, the fungicide treated plots showed more depression of the aphid disease when they were applied before the inoculum was released into the cages. This graph shows my results by the fungicide and by the timing of the fungicide application of the peak prevalence of disease. And by peak prevalence, I mean the largest amount of disease seen in each cage over the entire course of the experiment, regardless of the date when the peak occurred. Because these were all independent units, some of them peaked on different days, and I wanted to see what the highest level of disease was for each of these plots. So on the left panel we have the means by fungicide, and the right panel we have the means by application time. We do see a significant depression in peak prevalence when you look at the strobilurin triazole mixed fungicide when compared to the water control and the strobilurin by itself. However, there is a trend that by adding the fungicide we do see a depression. When we look at the mean separated by the time of application, we don't see a significant effect. However, there is a trend that the before time, or when the inoculum was released, or when the application was applied before the release of the inoculum, there was a depression in the percent disease prevalence. This graph is set up the same way as the previous graph, in which we have the means by fungicide on the left panel and the means by the timing of the application on the right panel. However, in this graph, I'm looking at the cumulative disease prevalence. And this means I took the total number, the proportion of aphids infected out of the total number of aphids that I collected throughout the entire experiment. And we see the same trends. We saw that the multiple mode of action product, the strobilurin and triazole mix, showed a significant depression in cumulative disease prevalence. However, in this instance, the difference in the timing did cause a significant difference in the cumulative percent prevalence, with the applications applied before the release of the inoculum showing a significant depression compared to those plots that had the application applied after the release of the inoculum. I also made an interesting observation as I was going through my data. I noticed that many of my plots, I did not recover any infected aphids whatsoever throughout the entire experiment. And I thought that this might be leading to the significant differences in the percent prevalence that I was seeing. And although we didn't initially think that this would happen, or we didn't initially plan the experiment to test this, I just wanted to show you that we did see this depression in the proportion of cages with aphid disease. And this depression was especially obvious in the strobilurin and triazole mix fungicides, in which when the fungicides were applied before the inoculum, we only recovered disease from 1/3 of the cages that we put out there. And I would like to make a note that we did repeat the experiment later in the season. However, we didn't see any treatment effects because the environment was so conducive to aphid disease that, it's not letting me do anything. It'll take me out of my head. Okay. Well, that worked for some reason. Okay. So where was I? Oh, yes, I was talking about the environment. Actually, this August was the wettest August in Minnesota history, so we just had disease everywhere. I even found disease in cages in which I didn't release inoculum, so it was really hard. So the treatment effects can be overcome if the environment is exceptionally conducive. So in conclusion, we did find that multiple mode of action products showed a greater effect than single mode of action products. And when I refer back to my hypothesis about the timing of the application, we did find that the applications that occurred prior to the presence of aphid disease were more detrimental than after their arrival. And we did find a lower recovery of diseased aphids from plots that were treated with fungicides. And again, these negative impacts of the fungicides can be overcome if the environment is exceptionally conducive to disease transmission. And I'd like to end with some implications about the typical rust management that would occur, at least in Minnesota. When we've observed aphid epizootics in the field in Minnesota, they usually occur from mid to late August. However, at this time, the soybeans are already at a stage where fungicides would not be beneficial if rust was in the area. So if soybean rust fungicides were applied to these soybeans, they would have been applied generally before this epizootic would occur. And to combat disease resistance in Asian soybean rust, most growers would use a multiple mode of action product when applying fungicides. So this leads to the worst case for aphid pathogens, at least from what our work demonstrates. And I wanted to show this disease triangle just to demonstrate that we require the host, the environment, and the inoculum to be present in order for disease to occur. And what fungicides are doing is they're reducing the effectiveness of the inoculum, which can interfere with the disease occurring in the field. And I'd like to acknowledge these people and open up to any questions. Yes?
Could you tell us the timing for before and after?
Yes. The question was, what was the timing for before and after? And I apologize, I forgot to mention that. When I applied, the applications that were made before the release of the inoculum were made the day before, and unfortunately I was unable to get into the field immediately, so the after applications were made about 10 days after the release of the infected aphids. So.
Can I ask one more question? when you released the infected aphids, how long before they were going to die?
Okay, the question was, when I released the infected aphids, how long would it be before they died? I inoculated them approximately, I believe, 2 days before I released them, so I expected them to die within 3 to 4 days of the inoculation. So the day after I released them or 2 days after I released them. Yes?
Regarding your animal pathogen, what would bring it into a soybean field? Would it be on migrating aphids, or would it be present within the soil or blown in by spores?
The question was, how would the inoculum initially enter a soybean field? And from what I've read in the literature and from what we think happens is that actually infected alates will bring the inoculum into the field and start epizootics that way. There hasn't been an overwintering form of this fungus confirmed yet, and a lot of work by Fang has shown that aphids are capable of flying long distances while infected and actually landing and starting colonies before they die. So we believe that it's infected alates that bring the inoculum into the field. Yes?
Do you think it cycled once in the population?
Okay. The question was, do I think that the disease cycled once or more than once in the population? And I think that it cycled more than once in the population. I believe that secondary infection was found because I did perform bioassays over 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I think based on the rate of death, or the rate of from infection to death and sporulation is about 4 days. So I think that secondary infection would have had to have occurred.
When you're looking at infection, were you
We can talk after.